What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Gridiron Podcast. I am your host, Michael, and unfortunately, Nick cannot join us today. Some technical difficulties, but that's okay. It is a cold November day, and I'm still here. So you guys are going to join in with this conversation with me, and without further ado, let's get right into it. So the first thing that I want to talk about is Thursday night's game. I think it was pretty important. The Commanders versus the Eagles. This one was a rivalry division game. And, a couple takeaways for me from this game were specifically, obviously, Jaden Daniels was going to be the highlight of this game, just to see how he performs against a better top-tier team. And he did not perform too well. There was a lot of expectations for him to perform well. And honestly, the Commanders couldn't really get a lot going. The Eagles shut down the run game. I think total between Jaden Daniels, Brian Robinson, Austin Ekeler, I think it was like a 3.3 average. So the Eagles absolutely destroyed that in the run game. So Jaden Daniels didn't play too well, even in the throwing game. The Eagles did a nice job of taking care of business, home game. I think it was huge. But yeah, you know, the other thing too is secretly the Eagles are on a 6-game win streak, which honestly, I did not realize. No one's really kind of talked about it, and they are kind of looking dominant in while doing so. Yeah, so the Eagles on a 6-game win streak, I'm kind of curious if this team, will they take first place in their division? I think the Commanders are 7-4 now. And the Eagles are looking like kind of legitimate. They're looking like the playoff team that we know. They're taking care of business against teams like the Commanders. I mean, the Bengals even, the Rams lately. Or they play the Rams coming up. Sorry, excuse me. But I think they're a pretty legitimate team. I was kind of skeptical of them. But they've definitely shown that they're going to be in the playoffs and they can be a strong team still. Another game that I thought was pretty interesting was the Colts and Jets. The reason being, obviously, with the whole news of Anthony Richardson being benched, I was kind of curious as to when they would go back to Anthony Richardson. And they went back to him, and he honestly played phenomenal. He was, I think, 2 rushing touchdowns, a passing touchdown. So 3 touchdowns total with like 200, almost 300 yards. And I think that this was a huge learning curve for him. I think that him being benched, he was able to kind of reset. And he kind of looks better. I mean, it's kind of like the whole Bryce Young situation. He kind of looks better than what he did before because he was playing some awful ball. But he was able to put together a drive and come back late in the fourth quarter to basically win the game. I think there was like 30, 40 seconds left. And yeah, I mean, the Colts are not a team to necessarily look over if Anthony Richardson's playing well, even though their defense isn't playing well. But this was a big win for the Colts. I think that instead of going, I think the Colts are 5-6 on the top of my head right now. Instead of going 5-7 or 4-6, if that would be the case, they put together a win here. And let me double check for sure. Let me double check for sure to see what they are. So yeah, they are 5-6 right now. So yeah, instead of going 4-7, they're 5-6 now, which puts them in second place in the division. And honestly, still right there for the wild card spot. They can still be in the conversation. Will they go far? Probably not, but they're still in the conversation. On the flip side, the Jets. Absolutely. I mean, they did play well. Aaron Rodgers played well, 2 touchdowns. Breece Hall played really well. Just wasn't enough. I mean, their defense gave up that last drive, which like made them lose the game, obviously. But their season's over. And this past week, they did fire Joe Douglas, their GM. So things are moving there. Is this because of Aaron Rodgers? Probably. So I'm kind of glad that Green Bay told Aaron Rodgers, you know, we're not doing it. He's not going to have as, you know, as much power as he has with the New York Jets right now, of Robert Saleh being gone and now the GM being gone. Is this a conspiracy? Can be, but their season's over. They're staring down the barrel right now. They're looking at next year. Do the Jets want Aaron Rodgers next year? I mean, we will see. But yeah, I mean, a game that I thought, you know, was looking at it, it's underwhelming, but the headlines there about Anthony Richardson, definitely there, and the Jets season, I mean, now it's confirmed and over. So another game that is fairly interesting, not because of the teams necessarily playing in it, but there's a lot of controversy with this game, at least I thought. And looking back over it, you know, I saw it with my own eyes of just how poor the officiating can be in this game. The Vikings and Titans game. Now, looking at the box score, you're going, yeah, Vikings won 23-13, but there were so many things within this game that just were unbelievable to me. It's not like the Titans are, you know, expected to win this game. I'm not going to say this because, you know, if this happened, the Titans would win this game. But the refs are terrible. I mean, absolutely terrible. There's a Mike Brown. He's a DB for the Titans. Unnecessary roughness call in the back of the end zone on fourth and goal, which gave the ball back to Minnesota to basically score a free 6 points, which was terrible because it was a clean shoulder hit straight to the chest. And he didn't leave his feet. He didn't like lean into, he didn't jump at the receiver. I think it was Addison. And they called an unnecessary roughness call there, which was a huge momentum swing. And there's another call. Calvin Ridley touchdown got called back for like an illegal shift or formation or something like that. And it was just ticky tacky. And there were other penalties that were very atrocious in this game, which very momentum based. And, you know, I was going to say, if Nick was here, I'd love to hear his opinion about this, but unfortunately not. So I'd like to hear your guys' opinion about this, but there should be some sort of accountability more than just it was bad officiating that game. There should be either a suspension, deduction in pay. I mean, there has to be more accountability. I mean, Roger Goodell came out and said that this is the best officiating crew he's had. And the officiating is good this season, which there's been up and downs. I haven't been too picky about it. I haven't really noticed too many terrible headlines of, you know, refs ruining games. But for the most part, I mean, this was one game I'm just like, you're basically giving the Vikings a free touchdown. And it's just, it's unfair. It's not like the Titans rolled over and just took it. They were fighting in this game, trying to make a stop. And the refs kind of just stripped it away from them. I personally think refs should face suspension and some sort of deduction in pay that, you know, it really is costly to these teams because it's one game a week. Every game matters when you're fighting for a playoff spot, division spot. I mean, it matters. And it's frustrating because these refs can strip it away no matter how much work you put in throughout the week. What the coaching's like, doesn't matter. Refs make one call and it's over. So yeah, Vikings won. It was a routine win, but not too crazy about it. This next game, absolutely crazy. It's a crazy week to be a Bears and Packers fan. I mean, lots to take away from this. I can absolutely go on a whole segment about this. As a Packers fan, the only thing I can say is we escaped. We escaped and got lucky. Packers played atrocious. I mean, they got outplayed in every single metric. Turnovers, rushing yards, passing yards, I mean, all of the above. Jordan Love didn't play the best football. I mean, I don't think the play calling was there for the Packers, especially in the red zone. The red zone's been an awful problem these past couple weeks. And it's really costly too, because if you're not scoring in the red zone, you know, you're going to lose games and you're going to only put up 20 points like they did against the Bears. Now, Christian Watson, I will say on the positive note, absolutely stepped up when we needed him to. Led the way with, I think it was 150 yards in receiving on like 6 receptions, if I'm not mistaken. He obviously stepped up with the last touchdown when Jalen Johnson tripped over his feet. It was just a terrible game from the Packers. And I got to say too, Packers paid Rashawn Gary, Kenny Clark. I have yet to hear their names. I mean, Rashawn Gary did get a sack in before the 2-minute warning. Besides that, though, those two guys have been missing, literally missing. I was expecting this defensive line to absolutely stop the run, to cause havoc and chaos for quarterbacks. And I will say on the flip side too, Thomas Brown, the new offensive coordinator, now that Shane Waldron's gone, he had a really good game plan, which was to get the ball out of Caleb's hands really fast. And they did just that. And they ran the football. DeAndre Swift had a great game. But the Packers' corners too, Jair went out of the game early with a knee injury. Hopefully that's not too concerning. But these DBs are getting beat left and right. Keyshawn Nixon, I mean, it's not good. It's not good, I don't think. I will say, too, the Packers got lucky because of the head coach of the Chicago Bears stripping the spotlight away from Caleb Williams for a reason I have no idea why. Caleb Williams, before the 2-minute warning, the Packers sacked him twice. 3rd and 19. I thought the game was over. I didn't think he would pick this up, but the Packers love to give up huge yards on 3rd and longs. No idea why. So the Bears get 17, I think it was, to a throw to Rome, and then a back shoulder fade to Keenan Allen on a 4th and 3, which they convert. Next thing you know, it's another ball to Rome, and the Bears are well within the Packers' 30, I think it is. And it's a 46-yard field goal, and there's 30 seconds left on the clock. I'm thinking that the Bears are going to try and pick up more yards here. They still have a timeout. All they have to do is run the football or pass it over the middle once. They run the football once and get 2 yards. Matt Eberflus doesn't call a timeout. Lets the clock run from 30 down to 3 or 4 seconds, and they try the 46-yard field goal. I mean, yeah, 46 yards seems pretty routine. It does seem like it's a kick that kickers make all the time nowadays. But when there's 30 seconds and you have one timeout, you know, you have a chance for another play to get the ball down the field to really, really like give yourself a better chance to win the game. Because Cairo Santos kicks a low ball, chances are he can get blocked, which is exactly what happened. Luckily, the interior line for the Packers, Carl Brooks specifically, blocked the kick. Absolute miracle. I didn't believe it. I was screaming at my TV. On the flip side, though, if you're a Bears fan, you are absolutely just frustrated. I mean, I've seen all the reactions to that block field goal attempt. Tragedy. Tragedy. People are obviously calling for Matt Eberflus. He should be fired. Even I'm saying that as a Packers fan, even though I love the guy for what he does, how many situations he can mess up. It is sad. It's sad to see a Bears organization this far down the drain. They can't get decisions right. They have all the talent on their roster. They just cannot get a coach who can lead them to victory. And just a side note here, if I'm a Bears fan or Bears organization, some of the head coaches I'm looking for Matt Eberflus next season, potentially is like Mike Vrabel. I can't say his name. Mike Vrabel, Tennessee old coach. He's a known winner. I mean, he's a great coach who's straight to the points. He will, you know, use the talent he has efficiently. Another guy is obviously Ben Johnson, if you can get him, but that's a big if. Another name too that I think is interesting is Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, OC for the Commanders. There are a few names out there that are floating around that you might be able to get. I mean, I don't know if the Bears want to go with the defensive coordinator again. I mean, just wouldn't be good. But if I'm them, I'm going Mike Vrabel. That's probably my number one pick. But side note there. So from the Packers-Bears game, Bears still haven't beaten the Packers in over 2,100 days. Pretty sad. But we'll see if the Bears can go to Lambeau and beat them later in the season. Saying in the NFC North, this game was expected. The Lions and Jaguars, routine win, not much to talk about. I mean, before I knew it, it was 28, whatever. Lions were up, you know, 21 plus. And the Jaguars just gave up. I mean, folded over, rolled over, took it, gave up. 52-6 was the final score. Mac Jones in that QB still. I mean, Doug Peterson, if he's not gone anytime soon, he's definitely gone at the end of the season. His interviews are kind of funny. I've seen them with the answers to, you know, what are the answers on offense? You know, he's just, he has no answers. I mean, it's kind of funny. So Doug Peterson should be gone soon, unfortunately. Just the Jaguars, this was supposed to be the best team of talent they've had. Just didn't pan out that way. So this defense, absolutely atrocious. Can't stop anything. I think the Lions had like, I'm going to mess this stat up. I think I glanced at it though. It was like 38 first downs or something like that, if not more. So yeah, I don't know. Jaguar season, definitely over. Lions keep on rolling. I mean, they are just dominating these bad teams. It's not even close. If I can recall, I think they beat the Cowboys like 47-9, Jaguars 52-6. The Titans, I think it was 40-7, 13. I can't remember. But they are just steamrolling. So if you're a Bears fan too, how are you going to watch the Lions do this? And there's your coach. So another division or rivalry, I should say, Ravens and Steelers. I mean, this game was interesting to say the least. I mean, just because of the, in my opinion, didn't expect the low scoring that happened. 18-16 is your final score. Steelers win again, and the Ravens were on a roll. Lamar was playing good football again, even though he, a couple weeks ago, you know, had a stinker. But yeah, I mean, the Steelers win again. Lamar's 1-4 against the Steelers. Is this like a mental thing for Lamar and the Ravens, or is this like just coaching? I mean, you kind of got to ask yourself, like, Mike Tomlin's a great coach. I mean, he's been with the Steelers forever, obviously. He's a great coach. I don't know what it is for the Ravens that they just cannot beat this team, and Lamar specifically. I mean, on paper, you might say that the Ravens are more talented, but do the Steelers have a better defense? Probably. It's a really weird concept, and I don't understand it, what it is for Lamar, mental block. I have no idea. I'd love to know the answer. So going forward, I mean, I don't know if I'd like the Ravens against the Steelers, to be honest. Seems like the Steelers can just edge out these weird close games, and Russell Wilson played good enough. So that was an interesting game to me. I didn't really expect that. Another division game I didn't expect, the Seahawks and Niners. Now, Nick and I have been saying this entire season, this is not the same 49ers team. They're going to take losses here and there. But this is a concerning Niners team. I mean, I don't know what their deal is with losing these last second game, like second drives, these last second plays. I mean, I just don't know what it is. I thought the Niners would come out and play a lot better than what they did. Apparently, Kyle Shanahan, people are calling for him and his job isn't good. I like Kyle Shanahan. Obviously, he's a coach. Niners beat the Packers all the time in the playoffs. He's just a coach that I look up to, and I'm like, man, I want to be like him, or not be like him, but I want the Packers to, you know, have a coach like that who can win in the playoffs, who can coach in big spots. I mean, not saying Matt LaFleur can't, but obviously Matt LaFleur hasn't beaten Kyle Shanahan in the playoffs in a while now. So it's concerning when your fans are calling for his job. The Seahawks drive, Geno Smith runs in for a 17-yard touchdown. I mean, this division's really interesting, and it's up for grabs right now because the Niners fall to 5-5. The Seahawks are now 5-5. And on top is the Cardinals at 6-4. We'll get into the Rams later, but or the Rams won against the Patriots. But yeah, I mean, it's really up for grabs, and it's interesting because the Packers play the Niners this coming week, and it's like maybe this is the opportunity the Packers can beat them because obviously the injuries, but on top of that, Niners are not playing good. They're not playing good enough. And it looks like there are weak spots on this defense, offense. I mean, it's interesting that who would be the replacement for Kyle Shanahan at the end of the season if Kyle Shanahan were to be fired per se? It'd be interesting. It really would be interesting to see where this Niners direction goes. Obviously, the contracts with Brandon Ayuk, obviously he got a contract. Debo, he's still an interesting question mark. We'll see what happens with CMC and a few other guys. So it'll be interesting to see what happens and what direction this Niners team goes, because if they lose to the Packers and then continue to lose, they aren't going to be in the playoffs. And that'll be interesting. So very interesting, interesting game there. I think it was a good win for the Seahawks. Geno Smith needed that one for sure. Because I was kind of ruling out the Seahawks. This team was good. They do have some talent, but it's a matter of putting it together. So they finally did that. So speaking of talent on paper, this team that I was high on coming into the season has really disappointed me heavily. That's the Atlanta Falcons. I don't know what it is with this team. Some weeks they look good. They can beat the Buccaneers in overtime. Some weeks they look like this, where they lose 38-6 to the Broncos. And you're going, how did they lose that? I've been asking myself that so many times this season, where I'm like, why are they not playing better football? Is it coaching? Is it play calling? Is it Kirk Cousins? Is it this defense? I don't know. I don't know how many more additions they need to be there. Their defense got absolutely cooked this past week against the Broncos. I mean, Bo Nix was all over them. And I don't understand how. I mean, their secondary got busted. I mean, Bo Nix threw for 300 yards, 4 touchdowns. It was just absurd. Yeah, I mean, not much to say there besides, you know, are the Falcons – it really leads me to the question of, are the Falcons a legitimate team? Are they a team I'm really looking at in the playoffs? I don't know. I mean, right now, obviously, with the Bucs losing a couple close games, they are now 4-6, but the Bucs or the Falcons are still 6-5. But who knows what the remaining schedule, what they'll go. They're such an up-and-down team. I don't really trust them. And I don't know. I don't know what to think of them, to be honest. I mean, the Broncos, on the other hand, are fighting for a wild card spot. This is a team that is sneaky, that I did not see coming into the season, playing the way they have been, in the record they have. I mean, they look better. I mean, obviously better than the Falcons because they beat them. But on paper, you go, the Falcons are way better. It's just not the case sometimes. which is really interesting for me. So this game was a surprise for sure. I mean, Falcons need to figure it out, go back to the drawing board on both sides of the football, and get some consistency, because that's what they need is consistency. This next game, I think we're all happy about. The Bills handing the Chiefs their first loss. I mean, nothing really to say. I really had the Bills winning this game. I think it was in their favor. The Chiefs haven't impressed me being 9-0, and they showed it, and Mahomes showed it too. Mahomes' first interception was terrible. If that was any other quarterback, everybody would be blowing up. But Mahomes, you know, two interceptions. He's throwing more interceptions than ever this season, but he's playing to win, which is fair. They're 9-1. So who are you to say that, you know, they're a bad football team? But I think the Bills are a legitimate team if, once again, they can also get consistent. I know they're having some injuries, but Josh Allen's playing some good ball. The coaching's good there. I mean, I think this Bills team is, you know, obviously first place in their division. They're going to win it, but they're playing some legitimate football. So this Bills team is something to look out for. This Chiefs team, you know, they may match up again in the playoffs. We'll have to see. And speaking of which, I don't really have any more to say about the Bills and Chiefs game. I just thought it was more of a routine game. You know, the Chiefs are a low-scoring team this season. They're a very heavy defensive team, and sometimes a better team like the Bills and Josh Allen will overcome that and score more points. So it just happens. The next game, Monday Night Football, which is crazy. Bengals and Chargers. I thought, you know, this was a much needed win for the Bengals. I mean, they are 4-6 at the time, and they went for two, lost to the Ravens. So I thought they were going to come out and kind of play better than what they did, and they almost came back in this game. They were down 24-6 at half, I think it was, and I was surprised by that. I was like, there's no way Joe Burrow's playing bad or the Chargers just playing that good. I don't know, but the Bengals could not come out that way. And when I saw that they almost came back, it was unbelievable because Justin Herbert looked phenomenal in the first half. He looked amazing. Second half, not too much, but still did enough to win. The Bengals rallied back just to miss a couple field goals, and Chargers ended up closing out the game. But I mean, I also think too, if you're a Bears fan, is there any regret in not hiring Jim Harbaugh? I mean, with a, in my opinion, a less talented Chargers team, you are getting more out of this team than I think I expected. I mean, obviously, with them getting rid of Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, you know, I thought this team was, you know, I saw in the beginning of the season, this team is struggling at the wide receiver position, and they had no offense. And this team is 7-3. I think if you have Jim Harbaugh, obviously, if you're, you know, he's coaching for the Bears per se, that none of those situations happen, such as Washington, the Hail Mary, Green Bay's field goal doesn't happen. The Patriots game certainly doesn't happen at home where you lose 19-3. I just think that some of these situations don't happen. And maybe the Bears right now, instead of being 4-6, are 7-3 at most, maybe better. But nonetheless, though, the Chargers looking pretty good, also fighting for a playoff spot. And, you know, for the Bengals, they're 4-7 now. And it's kind of hard to get in the playoffs when you have seven losses, because it looks like 9 or 10 wins is not going to get you into the playoffs right now. So if you're a Bengals fan, do you want Taylor to be gone by the end of the season and find a new coach? Or do you blame this on something else? I don't really know what it is with the Bengals. I mean, obviously, Joe Burrow coming back from an injury, they were kind of up and down. The Bengals defense was trying to put it together. So there's many questions, you know, to ask as a Bengals fan, because they may have just missed their window to win a Super Bowl. So they may have to start rebuilding, but that's a whole nother conversation. So right now, just looking at it, if we're in the AFC, we have the Chiefs in the one seed, the Bengals or the Bills in the two, Steelers in the three, Texans four, Chargers five, Ravens six, Broncos seven. And who's in the bubble right now? We got the Colts, which I was talking about earlier. The Dolphins at 4-6 are still there, but they basically cannot lose a couple more games, and so on and so forth. Doesn't matter. But in the NFC, we have the Lions, number two, the Eagles, three, the Cardinals, four, the Falcons, five, the Vikings, six, the Packers, and seven, the Commanders. So loaded on both sides, AFC and NFC. So it'll be interesting to see where these teams go from here. But I think that's going to do it for this episode. Loaded conversation, I know, a lot of ideas. And make sure to check out the YouTube shorts. I'm putting them out every single week. Look out for the shorts. They're out coming out every single week. And next week, Nick will be with us with another conversation for NFL Week 12. So thank you guys for listening. Make sure to check us out on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to your podcast, we are there. Thank you guys, and enjoy the week.